Sports Weekend, all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty Monday Olympic greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the July 26th Olympic edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Tunisian teenager Ahmed Hafnaoui, who won Africa's first gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics. The 18-year-old Hafnaoui was a surprise winner in the men's 400 meters freestyle swimming event. He won Olympic gold with a time of 3 minutes and 43.36 seconds. Jack McLaughlin of Australia won the silver medal, and Kieran Smith of the USA won the bronze. Tunisian Olympic fans had more reason to cheer in men's taekwondo. In the men's 58-kilogram class, Tunisia's Mohamed Khalil Gendoubi won the silver medal. He lost in the gold medal match to Italy's Vito Dell'Aquila.
Sporty greetings. This is Elizabeth Ayanacho, a Nigerian taekwondo athlete. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Elizabeth Iheanacho's dream of winning a medal at the Tokyo Games is over after a loss to Turkey's Nur Tartar. Tartar won the women's 67-kilogram Olympic taekwondo match 12-7. Iheanacho was quoted afterwards saying, "I have cried and I still feel hurt because I wanted to spring a good surprise. It has been quite a journey. Truly a long and challenging journey." Meanwhile, the Tokyo Olympic journey is also over for this Ugandan female boxer.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Catherine Nanzeri lost a unanimous 5-0 decision to local favorite Sakimi Namiki of Japan in a women's flyweight round of 32 bout. In Olympic men's boxing, a Cameroonian fighter won his opening bout. Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori reports.
A day after the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games opening ceremony, flag bearer of Cameroon, Albert Mengue Ayisi, stepped into the boxing ring and defeated his welterweight opponent from Eswatini, Dramani Tabiso, in the round of 32 by a technical knockout. The 22-year-old boxer in his Olympic debut and a win was hailed by his coach, Alan Didier Ngaja.
You know, it's true that we have been preparing this Olympic Tokyo 2020 for only 3 weeks. 2 weeks in Ita and 1 week in Tokyo. Nothing before. I say nothing before. But he is one of my medal hopefuls in this Olympics. He is African champion in welterweight and he has a lot of talent physically, technically, and tactically. His next fight is on Tuesday against Aidan Walsh. He is already prepared for that. Albert Mengue Ayisi is a young boxer, 22 years old. He did a very good fight yesterday against Dlamini Tabiso from Swaziland, who is a professional boxer. The advice I gave him, I asked him to be speed and more explosive because professional boxers are powerful but low. And he did it. When Albert is in the ring, he listens carefully what I say and apply it immediately. I'm very proud of his victory. You know, this is his first participation in the Olympics.
The head coach of Cameroon boxing team introduced his other two boxers, Wilfred Nsegwe and Maxim Yeno, representing the country at the Olympic Games.
Chodone Wilfried, say, in 75 kilogram is in his second participation in Olympics game. In Rio, he was our flag bearer. He is under 23 world champion. He won it in 2019 in Canada. He is a chance of medal. Maxime Yenyon Jio, our super heavyweight, is African championship. He is powerful. This is first participation in Olympic, but he remains hopeful, a medal hopeful. All of them are determined to write their names in Cameroonian boxing after Joseph Besala in Mexico Olympics in 1988 and Martin Dongo Ibanga in Los Angeles Olympics in 1984.
In another development, Ghanaian flyweight boxer Suleiman Utete won his fight against Dominican Marty De La Rosa to advance to the round of 16. Coach of Ghana's Black Bombers, Ofori Asare, after Suleiman's victory.
I think we are manifesting the kind of training or the kind of preparation that we had, that we are claiming that we want to make history here. It is not easy. We are gradually on the right path. And I think Sule's wins may signal a lot to know that we are really serious of all the words that we just spoken before coming here. We are still asking for Ghanaians to pray for us, because it is not an easy competition, but we will put up our best to make Ghanaians happy.
That was head coach of the Black Bombers, Ofori Asare. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kobno Ofori in Accra.
My name is Coach Ofori Asare, the head coach of the national boxing team of Ghana. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday. Our VOA Olympic fans will remember Sunday Olise won a gold medal with Nigeria at the 1996 Atlanta Olympics. Prince Nesta joins us now with a report on the men's and women's matches played over the weekend in Olympic football. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Kubamelo Kodison, Evidence Magope, and Teboho Mokoena all recorded their names on the score sheet. But it wasn't enough to pull off a win, as France came back twice to beat South Africa 4-3 at the 2020 Summer Olympics and keep their Olympic hopes alive. The French men's soccer team, which won the gold medal at the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics, needed three equalizers, including a hat-trick from their danger man André Pierre Gignac and a Teji Sevenier injury time winner to beat the Bafana Bafana. Gignac, described as a powerful and dangerous striker, and well known for his aerial presence, is now the top scorer in Tokyo with 4 goals from 2 matches. South Africa currently without a point, with the hopes of qualifying hanging by a thread. In another Group A encounter, host Japan also closed in on our Olympics quarters with a 2-1 victory over Mexico, thanks to goals from Takefusa Akubo and Ritsu Duan. Centre-back Facundo Medina netted from a low shot 7 minutes into the second half, to give Argentina a 1-0 victory over Egypt in the men's Olympic football tournament. Argentina now third in Group C after recovering from their opening loss to Australia, while Egypt are currently at the bottom of the group after an opening game draw against Spain. Argentina will face Spain on Wednesday, while Egypt, which has 1 point, play Australia. A win for the young Pharaohs against Australia could still secure them a top two spot, depending on the results of the Argentina vs Spain match. The Elephants of Ivory Coast won their opening game with a 2-1 victory over Saudi Arabia, could only afford a 0-0 draw against defending champions Brazil in Yokohama, with the draw taking them to second in Group D. The young Elephants are now set to face off in a winner-takes-all showdown against Germany, while the young Samba Boys, who cruised to a 4-2 victory against their Group D rivals Germany, will be hoping to keep their defense on track as they play against Saudi Arabia on July 28th at the Saitama Stadium in Saitama. Real Sociedad's 24-year-old striker Mikel Oyarzabal also registered his name on the score sheet, as Spain defeated Australia by a 2-0 in the city of Sapporo, while Nadine Amiri, Ragnar Ache, and Felix Udokai all scored for the German Olympic team as they cruised to a 3-2 win against Saudi Arabia at the Yokohama International Stadium to move into third place in Group D. Moving on to the Women's Olympic Soccer Tournament, gold medal favourites U.S. Women's National Team hammered the number 22 ranked New Zealand 6-1, a win that lifts them into second place in Group G with one game left to play. The number one ranked team next up faces Australia after its humbling at the hands of the number 5 ranked Sweden in the opening Olympic group stage match for both teams. Barbara Banda scored 3 goals for Olympic debutants Zambia, while Wang Shuang scored 4 goals for China to seal a 4-4 draw in the group stage of the Women's Olympic Soccer Competition. The Netherlands women's soccer team, ranked number 4 in the world, also secured a 3-3 draw against Brazil on Saturday, thanks to a brace from Arsenal forward Vivian Miedema and a goal from Mata, considered one of the greatest women footballers of all time. Moving on to the summer transfer window, Arsenal have secured the services of Belgian midfielder of Congolese descent Albert Sambi Lokonga from Anderlecht on a long-term contract. The 21-year-old playmaker joined Anderlecht at the age of 15. He made 78 appearances while scoring 3 goals for the Belgian side and has also played 7 times for Belgium under 21 team. Lokonga is Arsenal's second signing of the summer following the arrival of defender Nuno Tavares from Benfica. The Gunners begin their 2021-2022 campaign against newly promoted Brentford, who ended their 74-year absence from top-flight football by cruising to a 2-0 victory over Swansea in the Championship playoff final in May. Brentford also recently made their first Premier League key signing by securing the services of 23-year-old Nigerian midfielder Frank Onyeka for an undisclosed fee on a 5-year deal.
Sporting greetings, this is William Cho Sekong from Watford Football Club and Nigeria Super Eagles. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Crystal Palace have also completed the signing of Ivorian-born English defender Mark Guehi from Chelsea on a 5-year deal. The England under 21 international becomes Patrick Vieira's third signing at Selhurst Park after the arrival of 19-year-old French attacking midfielder of Nigerian descent Michael Olise and 27-year-old English goalkeeper Remy Matthews. Tottenham have also signed Atalanta keeper Pinluigi Golini on a season-long loan deal with an option to buy him for £17.7 million. The 26-year-old, who played 20 times for Aston Villa in the Championship in 2016 before joining Atalanta, officially becomes Spurs' first signing of the Nuno Espirito Santo era. Jadon Sancho finally clinched his long-awaited move to Manchester United after completing a close to $100 million move from Borussia Dortmund. The 21-year-old who joins the Red Devils on a 5-year deal is the second most expensive English player of all time, behind his English teammate Harry Maguire. Sancho scored 50 goals and registered 57 assists in 137 appearances for Dortmund side, and I quote, "I'll always be grateful to Dortmund for giving me the opportunity to play first team football, although I always knew that I would return to England. The chance to join Manchester United is a dream come true, and I just cannot wait to perform in the Premier League." End of quote. Everton have also signed former England winger Andros Townsend, Bayer Leverkusen winger Demiray Gray, and experienced showstopper Asmir Begovic, while Liverpool have also sold midfielder Marco Grujic to Porto, and Nigerian forward Taiwo Awoni to Union Berlin. The Toffees' 28-year-old winger Bernard has also joined Sharjah FC in the United Arab Emirates on a 2-year deal. The Brazil international, who scored 5 goals in 73 appearances, joined Everton in 2018 on a free transfer after leaving Shakhtar Donetsk. Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has also penned a new deal with the club until 2024. The 48-year-old Norwegian took over permanently in March 2019 and led United to second place in the Premier League last season and the Europa League final, which they lost. He also spent 11 seasons as a Red Devils player, scoring the winning goal in the 1999 Champions League final. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world.
Rain on me.
Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
This is Mohammed El-Badri. I am the co-founder and CEO of CoraStats, a data service company that is working with many of the clubs in Egypt, providing them with performance and analysis data about their teams and opponents. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
As Prince Nesta reported earlier, Argentina beat Egypt Sunday 1-0 in an Olympic men's football match played in Sapporo, Japan. Before the match kicked off, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with Sharif Alarian, the Secretary General of Egypt's National Olympic Committee, and Iron Mike asked him about the performances of Egyptian Olympians during the first few days of the Tokyo Games.
Team sport, football and handball, in the first games, we were very successful. In football, we played against Spain. It was a 0-0 draw. Spain is a higher ranked team than us, so it's an acceptable result. And for us, 1 point is good, helping us hopefully to qualify from this tough group, which has also Argentina and Australia. As for the handball, we just played one game in the group stage against Portugal, and we managed to beat them 37-31, which is a good result, hopefully to inspire them to do better in the coming games.
Do you have any medical issues? Have your athletes been doing daily COVID-19 tests and observing all protocols put in place by the games organizers?
About the medical issues, yes, our team are doing all the PCR tests needed daily, which is a routine thing here in Tokyo for all the athletes and officials. All the measures are taken with wearing masks, social distancing, all of that. We do have one case in the Egyptian team, a judo trainer, his origin is from Georgia. He's a national team trainer. He was tested positive in the third day since our arrival, and he has been isolated.
What message do you have for Egyptians at home on medal prospects of Team Egypt?
The message I have for Egyptian supporters around the world: have some patience, wait. We have a lot of athletes participating in this Olympics. more than 133 players in 23 different sports, have patience. We are now in the preliminaries, still a lot to come, and our prospects for medals are at their highest in the last 3 days when it comes to the wrestling, non-pentathlon, and karate.
That's Sharif El Arian, the Secretary General of Egypt's National Olympic Committee, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Tokyo, Japan. Team Egypt won its first two Olympic medals Monday in Taekwondo. Hedaya Malik won a bronze medal in the women's 67-kilogram weight class, and Saif Aissa won a bronze medal in the men's 80-kilogram weight class. And Team Ivory Coast also won a bronze medal in Taekwondo. Ruth Bagby won the bronze in the women's 67-kilogram weight class. Team Egypt and Team Ivory Coast bagging bronze in Olympic Taekwondo.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The men's and women's Olympic marathons are scheduled for the last 2 days of the games. The women will line up on August 7th and the men on August 8th. Both races will be held in Sapporo, Japan. Olympic organizers decided to move the races to the cooler climate of Sapporo to try and avoid some of Tokyo's typically very hot temperatures in early August. Look for African runners to be on the medals podium in both the men's and women's Olympic marathons. World record holder Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya will be defending his Olympic title in Sapporo. Eliud acknowledges this year's games will be different, as they have been delayed a year due to the COVID-19 pandemic and will go ahead without spectators.
But all in all, we respect the authorities. We respect the challenges. You know, as I always say, marathon is life. Then we all need to take care of the lives of the many people. So it's a high chance, and I respect what IOC and local organizing committee of Japan have decided that there will be no fans. That's okay. So, but I'm excited actually to participate and run in Tokyo, in Sapporo, and even without fans.
Even without fans, Eliud Kipchoge knows the stakes will be very high in Sapporo.
Sapporo, actually, if I win a gold medal, this will be the highest ever, because it's my second gold medal. I always value Olympic Games. I really value Olympic Games, and I'm really fighting for it. I'm really training for it. That's Olympic Games is as important as any other, as important. I don't think we can actually compare with anything, because always done in every 4 years, and this one is 5 years, and it's being watched by over 1 billion people from all around the globe. So it's really important race.
Eliud Kipchoge believes the Tokyo Olympics will provide hope to a world that's been battered by the coronavirus pandemic.
Absolutely, yes. Actually, my participation personally, our participation actually as a Kenyan team, and the participation both all the countries who are going to participate in Tokyo Olympic Games is a sign of hope to the whole world. It's a sign of hope in that we are actually preparing for the best moments ever, whereby we are going to have our normal lives again. So there is a light on the tunnel. That's why we are going to Sapporo. We are going to Tokyo and run to keep hope to the whole world that we are doing better, and we are actually on the right and the basic transition towards our normal lives.
That's marathon world record holder Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya, who will defend his Olympic title on August 8th in Sapporo, Japan.
Hi, my name is Julius Diego, former world javelin champion and Olympic silver medalist.
And you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Four new sports are making their Olympic debut at the Tokyo Games. And as the athletes compete for gold, many are challenged by an ongoing heat wave in Japan's capital. VOA's Gwen Uten has details. Sporty Olympic greetings, Gwen!
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sunny. This year's Tokyo Games have introduced the world to skateboarding as an Olympic event. The International Olympic Committee hopes the sport will draw in a younger generation. And on Sunday, IOC Sporting Director Kit McConnell told reporters he believes the competition will create a new global audience in its Olympic debut.
For the first ever time from this morning, the whole world is seeing Olympic skateboarding. They're seeing skateboarders as Olympians. Skateboarding is reaching out to new audiences. And the existing Olympic audiences, some of them may be seeing skateboarding for the first time. And if you take the population here in Japan, there will be millions of people watching Olympic skateboarding here in Japan and potentially watching skateboarding for the very first time. So it is reaching out to new audiences, and that connection between the sport, the community, and the Olympic Games, I think, has come together incredibly this morning. So I think that it's really something special we're seeing there, and more than ever, the focus is on sport and on the field of play and the athletes themselves.
Over the weekend, two athletes swept gold medals for host country Japan. Yuto Horigome won Olympic gold in the men's street skateboarding event, and 13-year-old Mumiji Nishiya won gold in the same event on the women's side. Skateboarding is one of the new sports at the Tokyo Games that include karate, sport climbing, and surfing. And despite the lack of spectators during competitions, Kit McConnell says the new events will be featured in Olympic Games to come.
In terms of the athlete experience, you can only imagine what it means for these surfers, these skateboarders, these karate athletes, these sport climbers, the baseball and softballers, being part of these games, being part of a National Olympic Committee delegation, being in the Olympic Village, mixing with other sports athletes from their own country, seeing these thousands of athletes and really having that unique experience as the first ever Olympians in many cases. So the athlete experience for these athletes is absolutely incredible. Of course, when we look forward, we'll continue to build on the planning around these integrated urban environments that have been developed from Buenos Aires, taken forward here in Tokyo, and you've already seen the planning for Paris, and you can imagine the opportunities that cities like Los Angeles and Brisbane can give us in the future for these environments. So that will definitely be something that is part of the planning moving forward, to have bring together these urban sports that have really low requirements in terms of adaptations of field of play, that can engage with people for competition, for training. As we were saying, this is part of the longer term planning for engagement around these sports moving.
But as the Olympians go for gold, some are forced to compete outdoors during a heat wave in temperatures exceeding 90 degrees Fahrenheit. On Saturday, the world's top two men's tennis players, Serbian Novak Djokovic and Russian Daniil Medvedev, called on organizers to move all remaining tennis matches from the hottest parts of the day to late afternoon or evening to beat the stifling heat. And Kit McConnell says while he's in full support of a schedule change, it's not always possible with every sport.
In terms of the tennis, obviously a lot of the competition schedule has been built where possible, depending on the sport, to accommodate the they will avoid the hottest parts of the day, but that's not possible with every sport. And on top of that, there's really extensive heat countermeasures across all of the training and all of the competition. And that has been in place for a number of years, developed through the test events based on feedback, and then generally has been working well across the games so far.
And as athletes battle intense heat and humidity, organizers are bracing for a tropical storm that is forecast to hit areas of Japan. Organizers were forced to postpone rowing and archery competitions until later in the week. Tokyo 2020 spokesperson Takaya Masa says the path of the storm is predictable, so they were able to reschedule those Olympic events in advance as a preventative measure. And that is all from me. More Olympics news to come. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the July 26th Olympic edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.